Chris Johnson is our senior hockey writer and insider at Sportsnet. The Leafs get back on the ice tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Hey, Jeff. I went to bed when I saw Brandon Morrow get out of that inning. It was 3-1 Dodgers. I figured the game was over. My mistake.
You know what? I wasn't far behind you. I just can't stay up that late anymore. Not doing this job. I can't. I mean, you know, thank God for World Series in 30. That's all I can say. Thank God for World Series in 30 and Jays in 30. What are we expect? Are we expecting Mitch Marner to take James Van Riemsdyk's place tonight? Is that the working assumption right now?
You know, it's a tough one to read, to be honest. I mean, Mike Babcock certainly came out and made it sound like James Van Riemsdyk was going to play. I don't know if there'd be gamesmanship this early in the season with injuries. So, you know, I'm kind of assuming James Van Riemsdyk's going to be able to play, but, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, there's certainly a long and storied past of coaches not exactly being, you know, forthright with injury information. And, you know, the fact he didn't practice yesterday after a day off would raise some eyebrows about, you know, whether or not he can play. But, you know, it is, if it's not tonight, I do think it is only a matter of time before Mitch Marner does get a chance to jump up in the lineup and play more minutes.
Yeah, you know, and because I seeing that injury, and the injury happened right down in front of us in the press box. I mean, my first reaction was either it was a knee or a groin. The way he did the splits, and I was surprised, quite frankly, he came back to finish out the game.
Well, and it was strange even to see him stay down for any amount of time. I was trying to run through James Van Riemsdyk's history, and you barely see him take that kind of punishment. The only other time I can remember is he broke a foot blocking a shot a couple seasons ago, and you know, that raised some eyebrows. And if it was something, you know, perhaps like a groin injury, which may not be too serious, but you know, could benefit from some rest. I mean, to me, there's not a lot of downside to keeping him off the ice in today's game, and you know, maybe for the next little while, because the Leafs, if they have one thing, it's depth at wing. And you know, well, you know, he's off to a great start this year. He's been scoring a lot early in the season for them, a big part of their top power play unit. You know, I think that they can get by in that area. And with the season as long as it is, to me, there's not a lot of reason to gamble on that or to put him out there at 80%. You know, if the medical staff thinks he can benefit from a little time away.
Mm-hmm. You know, your article on Sportsnet.ca today, it's funny. I was at the game. I made a note about that play that you talk about where Austin Matthews comes back and back checks after Anze Kopitar has kind of leaned on his stick in the Kings end. I mean, it was almost one of those, okay, you can do that. I can do this as well. And you point out, you know, look, it's a great line, the Matthews line. There's no doubt about it. But they really are getting more defensive responsibilities now from Mike Babcock, well, aren't they?
Well, the best thing is that, you know, they can't always control that. You know, now they're getting way more defensive attention from the other team's coaches. And I think the fact that they've proven to be so good defensively is just a bonus for the Leafs. And you know, that play where he chased Kopitar down, I mean, that's what every coach wants to see from their top players. But let's face it, a lot of top players wouldn't give that level of effort and you know, don't have to because they're stars at that end of the ice. And I think, you know, as we're trying to figure out and peg where the ceiling is for Matthews and what he might become, you know, I think the fact that he gives such an effort in that direction, that he's so good at stealing pucks, you know, his stick is unbelievable. You know, the fact that he is aware of the defensive side of the game to the degree he is, plus, you know, all the things that, you know, we've talked about, you know, in terms of his offensive game. I mean, this is what can really make him special for the Leafs. And then, you know, I think that's a really encouraging sign, just seeing the leaps he's made in tougher defensive minutes.
I mean, this is the guy who's been on the ice for one goal against 5-5 this season. And again, you know, he's not every team has got the type of firepower the Leafs have. But when you're on the ice as much as he has, when you have the puck as much as he has, that's just a remark. That really is a remarkable number. And I mean, I spoke a little bit to Anze Kopitar after that game. And, you know, the Leafs had 6 power plays in that game. And I think the previous 4 games, they'd had 8 combined. And one of the points Kopitar made was, you know, you can tell when the Leafs are really going because the other team takes a lot of penalties. And what he was saying is their skill players have the puck. And, you know, yeah, you like to be aware of what you can do. And as he said, you know, in this particular game, maybe we weren't moving our feet as fast as we needed to. But bottom line is when skilled players control the puck as much as they do and move it as much as they do, they are going to draw penalties. I mean, they just are.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do. It's a Leafs speed, I think, that stands out the most when I watch them play. I mean, there's not a lot of teams that have as many, you know, players that skate at the pace the Leafs do. And you know, when they're getting those power plays, I mean, that's partly why they've scored so many goals. They've, you know, had two really good power play units with all the offensive players that they have. And, you know, that is a benefit. You know, getting back to your point about the Matthews only being out for one goal against. I mean, part of that is obviously the Freddie Anderson's played well when he's mm-hmm. been on the ice, but it's a pretty impressive stat. I mean, he was basically on for half a goal a game, a little bit more than that at even strength last year, a little bit more than 40 in his 82 games, and to have played nine games against tough competition in bigger minutes and you know, starting more of the shifts in the defensive zone, you know, to be outscoring the opposition 10-1 at 5-on-5 is you know, a huge bonus for the Leafs.
What did you see you know, the impact that Roman Polak had last in his first game back? I mean, Mike Babcock kind of went out of his way in his post-game news conference to point that out. You know, were you a little surprised that he was able to come in and have that type of immediate impact? I mean, I know he took the slashing penalty, and he probably went to the box and said, okay, that's what they mean by these new rules. But were you surprised that he was able to come in and have that type of an impact in the defense corps?
I'm a little surprised. We're talking about this guy playing anywhere in the NHL at this point. You know, having seen the injury he suffered in the playoffs last year in Washington and you know, learned a little bit about some of the recovery he had. I mean, it was by far the worst injury he suffered in his career. You know, and to be someone who's 31, I think the odds get stacked against you the older you get in coming back, especially for Roman Polak, whose strength obviously isn't his mobility. And then, you know, with it being more of a skating game, I mean, he was facing pretty long odds to get back. And you know, what the Leafs found early this year without him, and they've really juggled around players on their third defensive pairing, you know, so far this season, is that, you know, that he brings an element that they don't have. And, you know, I think his biggest area to help the team will be, you know, being able to play on the penalty kill. They've really only used two defensemen on that unit through this year, basically Ron Hainsey and Nikita Zaitsev. And, you know, he gives them some options there. He's a little heavier player, more physical. And you know, I know that he's a bit maligned in this market. He certainly isn't known for puck movement in the Leafs. You know, don't generate much offense with him on the ice, but you know, the coaching staff has been a fan of his, and you know, I think it says a lot that he was able to get back to a point where they were comfortable giving him a 1-year deal and then putting him straight in the lineup.
Now, this game with the Hurricanes is kind of interesting. You know, we've been talking about Mitch Marner, and here come the Hurricanes, and of course they have Noah Hanifin, the guy the Leafs passed on to take Marner, and the guy that, Chris, are we safe in saying that if you put Mike Babcock up against the wall, he probably would have preferred Hanifin? I know that's kind of the conventional wisdom. Can we still say that? I mean, I'm not saying that he would do it now, but that at that time, the head coach wanted Hanifin over Marner.
Well, at that time, that's for sure. And,
okay.
And they, you know, the biggest reason for that is he felt they needed more help on D. And look, years later, our view of this team is that they still need more help on defense.
True.
That you know, that they have those forwards. And you know, I think it was going back to, at the, you know, one thing that Mark Hunter felt, you know, controlling that draft, is that, you know, you take the best player available no matter what position he plays. And that's why Mitch Marner ended up here. I don't think that the Leafs would make that trade, even, you know, with Marner kind of having a slow start to this year and, you know, being knocked down to the fourth line. You know, Noah Hanifin's actually on the third defensive pairing now for the Hurricanes. And, you know, they have one of the probably most underrated blue lines in the league. You know, a lot of players that have were lower picks that have pretty quickly established themselves as regular NHL players there. So, you know, it might be one of these debates we can revisit over time. But certainly in the moment, Mike Babcock was of the opinion they should take Hanifin or maybe even Ivan Provorov, who went number 7, I believe, to Philadelphia. And he's having a great early start for the Flyers. But, you know, just because he felt that they had a need on defense, and, you know, I tend to still agree with him, even though you're certainly not unhappy to have a 60-point rookie, which they had in Mitch Marner last year.
What are the Leafs going to be facing tonight in the Hurricanes?
Well, they're coming off a tough loss to Tampa, but it's a difficult team. And, you know, they played a game in Calgary last week and beat the Flames. And, you know, some of the things I heard from people associated with the Flames is just how quickly they move the puck. They stay kind of tightly bunched together around the ice and make a lot of short 8 and 10-foot passes to generate their speed. And, you know, I think, frankly, when the Hurricanes are on their game, that they're just a pain to play against, that they don't give you much. They control the puck more often than not. And, you know, they can potentially frustrate a team like Toronto because, you know, the Leafs have all those offensive weapons, but if they're not getting the chances that they're accustomed to, it can be difficult. We saw that in the game in Ottawa on Saturday night where, you know, a few of the Leafs' top players admitted to getting a bit frustrated by what they faced and, you know, having an Ottawa team bogged down the neutral zone and not allow them to go on the attack the way they would like. And, you know, that will be the message from Bill Peters, the Hurricanes coach, is that, you know, the Leafs can be had that way if we are patient and you know, control the puck and then don't give them many offensive looks. That will work against Toronto's strengths. So, you know, I think it is a sneaky, tough task, even though, you know, Carolina doesn't come in with much of a reputation. You know, they're only 3-3-1 to start the year. You know, it might even be a danger, perhaps, that they'll be overlooked somewhat because of those facts.